Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome into Turf Show Times, the podcast. We're here with last minute thoughts. That's where we break down everything you need to know 24 hours ahead of the game, whether that's injuries, matchups, and so much more, because we got an exciting game this week where the Rams are hosting the Dallas Cowboys. So with me is Blaine Grisak. He's a great writer over at Turf Show Times, putting out a lot of great content. So make sure you go check all that out. But we need to put some final thoughts on this, you know, Rams Monday night collapse against the San Francisco 49ers. The offense failed to score a touchdown for the entire game, you know, backbreaking mistakes and, you know, giving up some big plays on defense. So Blaine, let's get into it. For the offensive struggles, you know, it's really been the center of the focus for all the talk this week on the interwebs. What percent for the offensive struggles, what percent of the blame would you attribute to, you know, Matthew Stafford, either the offensive line and the injuries they've suffered, maybe the wide receiver core and Allen Robinson failing to, you know, build chemistry with Matthew Stafford, or, you know, maybe, you know, something else? You know, if you had to attribute blame to these things, what would you assign it?
Yeah, I mean, right now the offense just lacks an identity. Like, I don't know if they know who they are. And I mean, I like you said, like you brought up, I think that's due to a lot of different things. If I put a percentage on it, I think it's what, 60% of that on the offensive line. I mean, let's be honest, we all saw what Bobby Evans did in the preseason, and it wasn't great. And he was starting at left guard last week, and once again, it wasn't great. There's just been so much shuffling going on. Up front, and that's as we saw in 2019, it's really tough to build chemistry on the offensive line and sort of gel, and I think that's been a huge issue for a lot of these guys' struggles. And then I think you have to put 20% of the blame on Matthew Stafford. I mean, he is the quarterback. He has the ball in his hands every single play. The turnovers are once again high. The Rams have a chance last week to go down and potentially tie the game. They're down 17-9. That's still technically a one score game. And he throws he doesn't check out of the play and throws a pick six to Hufanga. So that's something that can't happen. And you kind of heard after the game, McVay was kind of frustrated about it. And then I think you put 10% on the wide receivers. I think this is a group that just lacks a lot of juice right now. They don't have that. I mean, Cooper Kupp's incredible, but they don't have that player that can really take the top off of a defense. They're really missing Van Jefferson. As far as Allen Robinson goes, I think he's partly to blame. You know, the week before against the Cardinals, he has the ball go directly through his hands on a would-be touchdown. That just, you're paying this guy $15 million a year. That can't happen. And then I think you put another 10% on other things like play calling. Darrell Henderson and Cam Akers are average at best, I think. So I think you can attribute the struggles on offense to a lot of things, but as most things in the NFL, I think it starts up front.
Yeah, you made a lot of good points, and you know, the Rams have a lot of issues on offense, and it's not going to be something that can just, you know, flip a switch overnight and it's fixed, because, you know, you got to get the receiving core intact, you got to get these offensive line, you know, healthy, get some starters back like Brian Allen, and, you know, you're getting David Edwards back this week, so. And then maybe once those things start to come together, Matthew Stafford starts playing better, and maybe his struggles are a symptom of these other struggles, but I think he also deserves his fair share of blame, and you did a good job outlining that. I think one statistic that measures his struggles independent of the offensive line and wide receiver is that, you know, whenever you talk about EPA per play out of a clean pocket, which is one of the most consistent measurables of quarterback performance, you know, Matthew Stafford's ranking 28th in the NFL. And that's just ahead of guys like Cooper Rush, Davis Mills, and Mitch Trubisky. So even in Baker Mayfield. So that's something you want to see an area of improvement on. EPA is heavily skewed by turnovers. And, you know, whenever you've thrown 6 interceptions and only 4 touchdowns, that's really going to, you know, swing in that regard. So, Blaine, I think you did a good job breaking down that 49ers game and, you know, the struggles through the first 4 weeks of the season. So let's get into injuries. And You know, there were two key starters that were injured in the game on Monday Night Football. Coleman Shelton's going to be out for quite a while, maybe like 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Jordan Fuller, who missed the Week 3 game against the Arizona Cardinals, he comes back. He's, you know, playing on special teams. That's a pretty big fall from grace for him. And, you know, he's injured, re-aggravated his hamstring. He's going to be gone the next 2 to 4 weeks. But, you know, like we said, you get David Edwards back at left guard. Jeremiah Colone seems like he's going to get the start at center. You know, A.J. Jackson is still doing admirably at right guard, but, you know, he's your fourth string potentially type player. So anytime you have a fourth string player on the offensive line, it's never good. And then on the defensive side of the ball, seems like David Long Jr. is on his way back. Kobe Durant in the secondary, you know, he's not quite ready. So any thoughts on the Rams injuries? You know, do you think maybe Jeremiah Colone, you will see a better performance out of him with a week to prepare versus getting thrust into action unexpectedly?
He's not necessarily a player I've ever really been a huge fan of. He's always kind of had slow feet. Never been a powerful player by any means. Just not somebody whose game I've loved watching him in the past. That's probably the injury feeling that worries me the most. I'm actually kind of surprised that, you know, the Rams didn't elevate somebody like Matt Skura this week with a week to prepare for this game for against the Cowboys. I mean, Skura might not be the best center in the league by any stretch of the imagination, but he has experience. He's a veteran player, and I think that's kind of that's the type of player I think this offensive line needs when they're going through the injuries and such that they are going through right now. I mean, Colone allowed four pressures last week, had a slightly higher pass blocking grade than Bobby Evans. And that's not saying a lot, but I do think we'll learn a lot this week just because I think playing next to David Edwards, I mean, David Edwards hasn't necessarily played well this year, but he's a gigantic upgrade to Bobby Evans to be frank. But it still worries me. The Cowboys run a lot of stunts, a lot of twists, and that's tough for any center. And I think that's going to be a huge challenge for Clooney as well.
Yeah, Bobby Evans did not play well at all against the 49ers. So, yeah, even though David Edwards, he's had an up-and-down year so far in 2022, like you said, a very big improvement in that regard. So should be a big boost for this Rams offensive line to have him back this week. And then on the Cowboys side, you know, Dak Prescott not quite ready to return. Cooper Rush is going to get his fourth start of the season. The Dallas is 3-0 with him. So after losing the first game of Dak as a starter, former Ram Jake McQuaid, their long snapper, is out for the year. So maybe we see some, you know, follies on the special teams. Maybe we line up for a field goal or a punt and the ball's not where it needs to be. That's something to watch out for. And, you know, something unexpected for the Cowboys that they're dealing with this week is Jason Peters suffered a chest injury in practice. He's going to be out for a little while. He's not going to play in this game. He's doubtful. And, you know, CeeDee Lamb limited in practice on Friday, missed practice on Thursday. A bit of a surprise. You know, he's questionable for the game. I think that's a groin injury. And, you know, the Cowboys recently got back receiver Michael Gallup. So he missed the start of the season after suffering a season-ending injury last year. So you're kind of seeing this wide receiver core come back into full force, especially if Lamb's able to play. So, Lane, what do you think on the Cowboys side? Any one of these injuries can maybe make a difference in this game?
I think the CeeDee Lamb injury is one to keep an eye on. He is questionable. So if he can't go, I think that'd be a huge dent to the Cowboys offense just because he's such a big playmaker. I don't think it'll have a huge effect in this game just because he is more of a depth piece anyway. But if Connor McGovern gets injured during the game or whatever, that puts a dent in the at left guard for the Cowboys if Jason Peters isn't playing. So that's also something to keep an eye on. As far as Dak Prescott, Cooper Rush, Cooper Rush is actually playing really well this year. It's not like the Rams are getting Ben DiNucci in this game. He plays really well within the system. He's a good processor. Maybe he doesn't have the best arm, but he throws with good accuracy and anticipation. So I am more looking at, you know, if CeeDee Lamb can't go, that would be huge. And then I think he brought up a good point too with the Jake McQuaid injury.
Nice. And, you know, questionable, like you said, CeeDee Lamb, that's tag is meant to be kind of a 50-50 proposition. So depending on how he's feeling in pregame warmups, he might be able to go, he might not. So it's just something to keep an eye on over the weekend. But let's get into some matchups for the game, especially with the Rams on offense. And you wrote an excellent post this week breaking down whether the Rams potentially made a mistake by trading away Robert Woods for Allen Robinson. What are your, if you could sum up your thoughts quickly on that, do you think it was a money-saving move? Do you think maybe the Rams evaluated Woods coming off a season-ending injury and he might not have enough left in the tank? Or does Robinson bring in a different skill set that we haven't seen quite yet? What are your thoughts on where we go moving forward and maybe just how the trade played out?
Yeah, I think it's just like, I think it's a combination of those things. I think it's a combination of it, that they wanted this this different skill set added to their arsenal at wide receiver. I think they saw kind of what Odell Beckham Jr. brought in terms of his physicality and ability to win that jump ball, and saw Robinson and thought that maybe he could do some of those same things. And then I do think it was partly that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods were, Kupp was a better receiver, but they both did very similar things. But with that said, Robert Woods was a staple in this offense. He was someone that was almost irreplaceable. They won a Super Bowl with him, but they without him. But it took them going out and getting a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. and him playing absolutely lights out in the postseason. And they've gone out there, and I can't necessarily blame them for going out and getting an Allen Robinson. He's a very talented player, but right now he's targeted just two more times than Ben Skowronek, and his 95 yards trail Skowronek's 140. And one guy the Rams drafted late on day three, and the other guy they're paying $15 million. And I think it's worth saying that six of Robinson's 18 targets have come in the red zone, and I don't think you really justify paying him $15 million simply to be a red zone threat. He needs to be able to create the separation. Right now against man coverage, I think his success rate is only 20%, which is not great. So I think it's going to be interesting once they get Van Jefferson back, because they'll have kind of the group that they kind of saw coming into the season all playing together, and kind of see how that works and what that looks like. But right now it's not looking very good. And I think it's fair to wonder if the Rams made the right decision in trading away Robert Woods for a sixth round pick and bringing in Robinson. And then also, have Robinson's injuries that he's dealt with in the past taken their toll. Did the Rams make the wrong move? Thinking that maybe Woods' ACL would affect him more than Robinson's past injuries currently have me possibly affected him.
Yeah. I mean, you did a great job breaking that down. I think one thought I have, and I'm not ready to really put it out into the writing sphere on Turf Show Times quite yet, but it's definitely something in the bag. I want to give Allen Robinson time to, acclimate, just to be fair to him. But do you think we get to a point in the near future where Allen Robinson kind of gets the Kenny Golladay treatment where, yeah, you're on the field and running routes, but you're not getting targets. So we're better off putting someone else out there who maybe is going to, whenever they get those targets, is going to be a little bit more effective. And, Kenny Golladay was a big free agent signing a year ago for the New York Giants, came over from the Detroit Lions, the only individual player that year in free agency that netted a third round compensatory pick in return. So that tells you just how large this contract was. And, a year later, he's playing, 25 to 35% of the snaps on offense. Do you think the Rams would be better off maybe sidelining Robinson and getting someone like Brandon Powell involved, maybe giving Tutu Atwell some shots? I know, he was inactive last week, but you think with his speed, should be able to separate down the field, right? Or at least, if you give him a 5-yard type pass that he can make something happen with it afterwards, use him on jet sweeps or gadget type plays.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to see that. I kind of think we saw a small glimpse of what Atwell can do down the field. I think it was against the Cardinals when Stafford just missed him. I mean, Atwell had separation, and we know that's a skill set. And I don't think I'm I don't think I'm ready to give Allen Robinson the Kenny Golladay treatment just yet. But later on in the year, when Van Jefferson returns, and let's say the Rams get Odell Beckham Jr. back, so you have a top three of Cooper Kupp. You're not benching Kupp by in that is you're not doing it. Your number two would be, Odell Beckham Jr. potentially. We saw what he did at the end of last year and in the playoffs, and the connection that he has with Stafford. So those are two guys that you're probably not taking off the field, or at least very often. The third guy is Van Jefferson, who has shown success in this offense, which is something that Allen Robinson hasn't done. So does Allen Robinson become that 3A, 3B type player where he's just coming in on certain situations, and Van Jefferson is coming in, on situations that they call for stretching the field, and Allen Robinson comes in, in the red zone where he can use his physicality. I mean, hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but I do think it's a fair thing worth bringing up for sure.
Interesting. So what I think what I'm hearing is that, Allen Robinson's the best option right now, but maybe in a couple of weeks when Van Jefferson's back, the dynamic changes, and you're not paying a receiver $15 million to be a situational type threat, especially on the goal line or however the Rams decide to leverage him. So that would be a big concern moving forward. But, these things have a tendency to play themselves out. So let's just give it some time. And, there's other things to talk about in the offense, such as the offensive line. And do you even think the Rams have a shot? Maybe this is a silly way to put it, at blocking DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons. Parsons has been one of the most effective pass rushers so far in 2022. Do you think they'll line him up against Joseph Noteboom, or how do you see the Cowboys attacking the Rams with their pass rush?
Yeah, this is, like I said earlier, this is, I think, one of my biggest concerns, just because the Cowboys do so many creative things on the defensive side of the ball with stunts and twists. And Dan Quinn is, building a kind of a legion of boom 2.0 here in Dallas with these guys. I mean, it's kind of funny, with as talented as DeMarcus Lawrence is, he's kind of become an afterthought with how well Micah Parsons is playing. And I don't necessarily think that's a good thing, because DeMarcus Lawrence isn't a guy that you want to overlook by any means. And it's a huge concern for sure. I think that the Cowboys will attack the interior of the Rams offensive line with Parsons, and running those stunts and those twists. I think on the offense, you're going to see, I think, a lot of what you saw last week. They'll lean on the quick passing game. I think the one big difference that between the Cowboys and the 49ers is the linebackers. I think McVay really needs to get these linebackers, Leighton Vander Esch and Anthony Barr, moving side to side. The Cowboys have given up a lot of big rushes on the edge. So if you can run off the edge and get those linebackers moving side to side, I think you have a good chance of breaking off some good runs. Get the jet sweep involved. I mean, look where the Rams' biggest runs have come this season. I mean, go back to the Buffalo game. Henderson's big run came to the left and out and outside. He had that big run on the toss sweep with the Skronik I formation package that went for a huge gain. And then against the Cardinals, you have Cup scoring on the jet sweep. If they can incorporate some of those things on Sunday, I think that would be pretty successful. But McVay's gonna have to run a smoke and mirrors type offense. Run a lot of preset motion. Keep that defensive line guessing and on their heels, and make those linebackers chase, because that's really the only way you really stand a chance against a defense that's playing really well despite not having their same turnover luck that they had last season.
Yeah, whenever you have a talent disparity, having those smoke and mirrors and getting maybe making a mental game out of it as well as a physical game, it can really elevate the talent you have on offense. But also, whenever it doesn't work, it's pretty ugly. So you're really taking a risk in that regard that, if it doesn't work out, it could be, it could look pretty bad. So, and yeah, you did mention that the Rams did a good job pivoting that quick passing game last week against the 49ers. And, I tend to find myself being maybe a little too critical of Matthew Stafford at times, but I've always had concerns with, him being able to be patient enough in that quick game. But he did a fine job against the 49ers, and they struggled whenever they got to the red area and those passing lanes get a lot more constricted and the windows are a lot smaller. And Stafford missed some throws in the red zone. I think that's an area that we should keep an eye on to see if he can improve moving forward. But, we're running a bit out of time, so let's get onto the defense. And, there's plenty to watch for here too. But, in this passing attack, if you're Cooper Rush and you saw what Jimmy Garoppolo did a week ago, you have to be pretty encouraged at your chances against this Rams defense, where you can play these short passes, you can make these quick throws over the middle of the field. The Rams are playing these pattern match coverages where you can find ways to dink and dunk underneath it. But Rush has also had opportunities to push the ball down the field, and he has a pretty good arm in that regard. And this is a pretty dynamic passing attack, even though they're averaging, you know, 224 yards in his three starts. Hasn't thrown an interception yet this year. But what element of this passing attack really worries you the most out of this, you know, three-headed wide receiver room out of Lamb, Gallup, and Noah Brown?
Yeah, I think you know, when some people see that the Cowboys playing Cooper Rush, they are going to see the Cowboys, you know, playing their backup quarterback. But he's very capable of executing kind of what the 49ers did last week, and playing like Jimmy G did, if not better. You know, Cooper Rush is, in my opinion, he's Jimmy Garoppolo, but he doesn't make the mistake. You know, he ranks second in EPA this season against the blitz, and I mean, granted, the Rams are going to be probably the best defense he's seen this season, but yeah, I think if the Rams kind of keep things in front of them, they'll be in decent shape. But they have to be able to come up and make the tackle. That's something that they didn't do last week, and it really killed them. CeeDee Lamb is very elusive. I don't know if he's as elusive as Deebo Samuel, but he's certainly up there. So, you know, even though CeeDee Lamb's on the injury report, if he plays, I expect him to be, you know, ready to go. And I mean, get the ball in CeeDee Lamb's hands, and he can make good things happen. And I mean, Gallup's a player that kind of dominates the middle of the field, and that's an area of the field that the Rams are going to have to take away with Cooper Rush, because, you know, he does have a decent arm, but he doesn't have a great arm. So if you can make him kind of attack outside the numbers, I think that's going to make him a little more uncomfortable than he wants to be. And those are going to be some throws that he doesn't necessarily want to make. So I do think it's going to be a challenge for this defense. I don't think they can go in underrating Cooper Kupp at all. I mean, or not Cooper Kupp, Cooper Rush, at all. So yeah, it's going to be, I think, more of a challenge than maybe they're going in expecting.
Yeah, and Rush has only been sacked four times this season. Two came against the Bucs whenever he came in relief of Dak Prescott. So over his remaining three starts, he's only been sacked twice. And, you know, a Rams team that wasn't able to sack Jimmy Garoppolo a week ago, Leonard Floyd has yet to record a sack this entire season. You know, you're probably not going to get many opportunities against Rush. He's going to get the ball out quick, and, you know, you're going to have to find different ways to affect him and drop players into coverage, interrupt those passing lanes, and it's going to be important. But, you know, this is a passing attack that, you know, they can get the job done, and they can outscore you pretty easily. So, and that's a scary thought for Rams offense that's struggling. But okay, let's get some final thoughts on the game, maybe some predictions and how we think the Rams will shake out moving forward. But, you know, the Rams are 2-2, the Cowboys are 3-1, the NFC West is all tied up at 2-2. Is this becoming a must-win game for the Rams, do you think, Blaine?
I think so. I think this can be one of those wins where I you don't necessarily care how it happens. I see it being a low scoring game. The Dallas defense hasn't allowed 20 points all year. They're very good in the red zone, which is an area that the Rams offense struggled in last week. So if they can somehow manage to get an ugly win, I think they'll be happy. But you just kind of look at the upcoming schedule. You know, you have Tampa Bay coming up in a couple weeks after the bye, and they're starting to get healthier with, you know, Chris Godwin coming back. I mean, Mike Evans is off the suspension. They're a team that's going to get healthier, and then that back half of the schedule is really scary. So, I mean, this is at home. You play the Panthers next week, and then you head into a bye. So if you can go and bye at 4-2, when you haven't necessarily been playing your best football through the first 6 weeks, and you have some time to figure things out, I think 4-2 would be a good spot for this team.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, I think you did say this could be an ugly game. I tend to agree with you. And we're coming off this Thursday night game of Russell Wilson and Matt Ryan. They couldn't really put a lot of offense together. You know, potentially we're looking at a very same type of game here on Sunday afternoon. And, you know, this is a primetime game where it's going to be the main game on Fox. You know, people, you know, watch your eyeballs. This could get pretty brutal. And between Cooper Rush and Matthew Stafford, you know, hopefully, you know, Stafford can, you know, stave off those turnovers. But there might not be a lot of offense in this game just based on, you know, the players you have on defense, Aaron Donald, Micah Parsons, Jalen Ramsey, et cetera. So, and as you mentioned, you know, the 49ers are already coming down the pike. So you got the Panthers in week six, got a bye in week seven, and then, you know, you're hosting the 49ers in week eight. So really that bye seems to be coming at an opportune time. So you can get guys like Brian Allen, Van Jefferson healthy and get them back on the field. Maybe people like Ode Abushi and Matt Skier, like you talked about, if Coleman Shelton or someone is still out, you can find ways to plug them in because you acquired them midseason. So, you know, something interesting to watch. I think it's an encouraging sign for the Rams that you can maybe get healthy a little bit before this gauntlet of a stretch. So, Blaine, where can guys find you on social media? What posts do you have planned for after the game? And, you know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so you can find me at BGreesackDTR on Twitter. And then after the game, I will, like always, I'll have my my three plays to change the game where I look at the three games that affected the outcome the most.
Awesome. Sounds good. I'll have winners and losers. And, you know, Kenneth Arthur, Chris Daniel, and I always do the post-game immediate reaction podcast, and that's a lot of fun. So make sure you check that out. Chris Daniel always has incredible thoughts on the offensive line and just has a way of putting things, you know, very bluntly. And I appreciate that about him. So, thanks, everyone, for listening. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Turf Show Times, the podcast. And, you know, we'll see you next week.